The Bible reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 6. So if you could please turn to that portion for the reading from God's word this morning. It's a passage that relates to the coming judgment on Jerusalem and the children of Judah. So you'll be able to see that in context as we read from Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'll be reading the portion from verse 8 to verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Very solemn words from Jeremiah to the children of Judah. We could turn to that portion from Jeremiah chapter 6, and it'll be from verse 16 that we look specifically this morning. But Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, we read there, through the prophet Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, there's a direct challenge to stand. It's a word that means stop and be alert. Is in the context of somebody who is on a journey in the ways. And I'm reminded of Pilgrim's Progress, because there were times that Pilgrim had to stop and consider where he was going. I've had to do that a number of times. Some people love Canberra, and I love the national capital. I love being there. And I love the main roads, which are very straight and direct, and you can get from point A to point B. But I still remember the notable occasion where I'd diverted off into one of the side suburbs in Canberra, and the roads are circular in fashion in the side streets. And I got bamboozled, I got lost, I was totally disorientated. And you know how one of those situations, you're sure you are at a road where you turn right now and it'll bring you back to the main road. But I turned right and did not bring me back to the main road. I was lost and I needed to ask. And there are times that we need to stop and see where we are at and to consider our ways and ask. It's something that we do need to do. And whether we're driving or hiking or travelling, sometimes we've got to stop and just consider which way we're going. And if the landmarks are not familiar or if it's not the right direction and the sun is setting, then maybe you need to be alert very quickly. And the children of Israel who were facing judgment needed to stop. They needed to stand. They needed to consider, reflect upon where they were and where they were going. I know in my own life there was a time that I needed to stand and stop and consider where I was at. And I haven't shared this very much because at times you don't want to reflect back too much on your past. Some say it's just a sign of age. If you're going to reflect back and reminisce the past. But because of some sad experiences, sometimes you don't want to visit down that road either. You just sort of think, maybe I'll just leave that as part of that which is past. But at 21 years of age, I graduated from Teachers College and I was appointed by the Department of School Education to a one-teacher school in the Riverina, west of Wagga Wagga. And Brother Gavin would be very familiar with these terms and domains, but heading out of Wagga through Lockhart, down to Urana, down to Oaklands, and along the road to Berrigan as you're on your way towards Finlay. That's where there was this one-teacher school nestled in amongst the wheat sheep farms, and it was with the farmers that I stayed for two of the 3 years of my time there in Berrigan. But I know that I was away from the Lord. I was distant from the Lord. I was backsliding. I wasn't walking with the Lord. I still had my spiritual faith, but I wasn't walking with the Lord. It's a bit of an enigma, isn't it, when you're... But you realise that carnality is there and you're distant from the Lord. And I know it all started when I went to Teachers College. Well, maybe it started in my heart before that as well. But I know it hit the road when I got to Bathurst and I was away from home 2 years, and it was the allurements, it was the away from home, it was away from the friendships, it was away from the controls, it was away from the home church. There were elements of loneliness, there were elements of immaturity, there were lack of strength. But the whole impact, wrong friends, you know, influences, you mix it all together. And I fell. And I reflect back and say, Lord, thank you for preserving me during those years. And I was in the country and I was teaching, and I could see that I was living two lives. I was literally on that fence where I had a life that was spiritual and a life that was in the world, and I could see that it was incompatible. But I was defensive, I was self-justifying, and I remember a minister with whom I had contact and invited me to some revival meetings, and I went. And it was in a small Methodist church in the country, there in Finlay. And I went to this church, and this preacher brought forth from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, that God abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And in the midst of our inadequacies and in the midst of our wanderings, God abideth faithful and will be ministering in your life to turn you around and to bring you to the point where he wants to bring you. And God was abiding faithful in the midst of my unfaithfulness, and God wanted to get my attention. And I needed to stop, I needed to stand in the ways, and I needed to consider where I was going and ask for the old paths and get back onto that good way and walk therein. It was a matter of when you're hit between the eyes and you're, that 4x2 has sort of hit you on the head. It's even worse than a feared collarbone break. You've been hit by that 4x2, spiritually speaking, and you are just awakened to the fact that you need to stop and do something. And it's about that we're just going to look briefly this morning, to stand in the ways, to see, to ask, and to walk, and to find that rest. But the way is a path or a road or a highway. It can refer to the broader context of a journey, and you'll understand it as I read some general things. There were the cherubim guarding the way of the tree of life, the path of the tree of life. There were those who were on the journey or by the way. There were those who lived after the way of all the earth. They lived after the manner, the customs, and the lifestyle of all the earth. There were those who walked in the way of the evil king. And oftentimes kings who were successors walked in the pathway, in the way of the king before. There were those who tried to have their way hid from the Lord. And that was their life, their manner, the pathways in which they were walking, but nothing was hid from the Lord. In the New Testament, the same. It's that road, that path, that way. And you talk about the traveller's way or the highway. And it can be a way of thinking too. There's references to the right way or the way of truth or the evil way of Balaam. Or Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth and the life. And that way is there. In Acts 16:17, we read about the way of salvation. And there were those who taught that way of salvation because they were the disciples. Paul, in the major centre within the context, he was there as one who was a servant of the Most High God, showing the way of salvation in the book of Acts. And I'm more and more convinced, and there'll be a time that I'll come back to this bridge of life. I realise there wasn't time at the table and there won't be time this morning. But we need to come back to showing the way of life. And we've got to expose people to the way of life and show them. I've made reference to Alex, the Syrian next door, and he knows my Christian faith. And what prompted at that hour the statements concerning it's disrespectful to have different views, in a sense, and I can understand where he's coming from, but I show respect. I know that he's Muslim. I know that he's got a different belief to me, and I'm trying to bring that way to his notice. And there's respect for neighbours, there's respect for people, there's respect for those who live within that same proximity, but yet there's a belief that I have and I need to convey that to him. I understand there's a belief that he has, but I've got to, by God's grace, expose him to the truth of the way of the gospel so that his eyes can be opened concerning Jesus Christ. We need to show them the way. But in this context with Jeremiah, and just briefly, that there was corruption, there was evil. Just looking briefly at chapter 5, verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Chapter 5 and verse 30, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? And the message comes out in chapter 6, ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. This is the message to Judah. They've been the message to Israel. Jeremiah was the prophet to the children before the captivity. There are other prophecies that come at the time of the captivity, but he's prophesying before, in this context, the captivity. And he's telling them that which is to come and before. And he's saying to the children of Benjamin who were with the children of Judah, flee. They didn't flee, they stayed, and they were subject to those same judgments. God was continually in grief and wounds, and Jeremiah was feeling that pain because of where the children of God were at in Jerusalem. In verse 8 we read of chapter 6, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. And he was warning them, and there's references to the nation that would come from the north. There's references to these shepherds as a picture with all of their campings and pitchings about, surrounding and then ultimately invading Jerusalem and capturing that city of Jerusalem. In verse 10 we read that they cannot hearken. They're uncircumcised in ear, and the word of the Lord to them is a reproach, and they've got no delight in it. In verse 12 we read that their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together, because that fury, that judgment is going to come upon the land. In verse 13 we read that everyone is given to covetousness. They've just gone in this direction that is a false direction. And even these false prophets, there's no shame, there's no blushing. The word is given at this time to the children of Judah. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? See, all of this that was coming upon the children of Israel was the evil that upon this people in verse 19. It was all the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor my law, but rejected it. And as you read all of Jeremiah, you see that this huge build-up. You see the patience of God, and then you see that there comes that point in time where the consequences need to fall upon the children of Judah. It had already happened with Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, and they'd already been taken by the Assyrians. And here was the approaching judgment that would come upon Judah through the Babylonians. In verse 27 we read that the Lord said, I've set thee, that is Jeremiah, for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are corruptors. And he talks about them being refuse silver, the strong words. But Jeremiah bears with this pain and grief, and he carries it, but yet his humility, he identifies with these people, and he says, us, we. And he talks about how the children of Jerusalem have brought these things upon themselves because of their pathway and because of their lifestyle. And he, in humility, identifies himself with them. But he's faithful to the commands of God. He's brave and persistent to endure. There's a God-given strength, and yet he's got this incredible compassion for the Lord's people. But he says, stop, stand, think about where you're at. And if you're lost, if you've lost your way, whether it's physically or whether it's geographically or whether it's spiritually, stop. Let God get your attention. And it's the word see in verse 16. And see. And that word is a word in the Hebrew that's to think or consider, to reflect, to evaluate seriously, where you're at. It's as though something had prompted the traveller anyway to say, look, stand. But then we need to see where we're heading. Questions could be, what am I doing? Where am I going? I think of the child who's caught up with no good and dad comes in and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you going? What's your life about? Do you need to stand and stop and realise that there's a wrong direction? Judah needed to face that before it was too late, because it had not been too late even at this point in time, but they were not listening. What is the state with each one of us and those loved ones around us? It has impact and it has consequences. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. We need to reflect and see and consider, because sometimes we embrace the philosophies of the world and we won't dwell on it now, but in chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, we read that there's this element of glorying that people can have in wisdom and might and riches. And some people, and there's evidence to show that the children of Judah were glorying or dependent upon fleshly things like their control of the situation, their might, their power, their esteem, their riches, their status, their wealth, their wisdom. I've got it in hand. And the self-orientation that man can glory in all that he has, and many of those things can be God-given. But yet when we glory in those things, we've got something wrong. Something is false, it's misplaced. And we need to come back to the point of glorying in one thing. And verse 24 says that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And man needs to know and understand God. And I believe that was part of Jeremiah's strength, because he knew God. He knew God. Margaret and I went to another funeral this week. It was a cousin, Winifred Christie. And Win, as she was affectionately known, passed on following a bout with cancer. Went to the Central Coast for the funeral. But remarkable family. Jack, the cousin of the generation before me, so he's literally a second cousin. He served in the Second World War, 92 years of age, a man that loves the Lord. Returned home, three children, loved his dear wife, and she was called home with cancer. Reared the three children for a period of time, and then the Lord led Wynne before his path, and he remarried, and he and Wynne built that relationship. They already had the three children from Jack and his late wife, and then they had two children themselves, and for 47 years I believe they were married and together. But then the Lord's called her home now with cancer. He has cancer, but he is just, Margaret even just said to me this morning, I wonder how long Jack will hold out now. Now, he's a fighter and he's been there. He's been out there in the action, and yet, and there'll be strength, but now that Wynne's with the Lord, how much resistance will be there with Jack? But because he knows the Lord, and that's straight between two, that desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but there's a time that the Lord would have us to be here to do what he wants us to do too. And that's where Jack will be at, even today, I know, because we understand his heart. In Daniel 11:32, we read, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you know God, then your heart will be set toward him. And I was thinking about the just considering that you have to stop, yes, you have to see, and that is perceive or consider whether you are going in the right track or the wrong track. And turn it around if you're not. You need to do that. And ask for the old paths, where is the good way? That's the third point. We live in a culture today where we don't want to ask. I don't know, maybe there's a shameful connotation. If I've got to ask, I'm going to look dumb or silly or foolish. But I love to ask at times. You've got to be careful, because if you're going to ask a stupid question, it's better if you keep your mouth closed and look wise. But there are times that we need to ask. I spoke to a colleague once, and she was saying to me, and she's a dear Christian lady who just loves the Lord, but we're talking about shopping complexes, because we were looking for something one day and couldn't find it. And I said, I'll go and ask. And she made the comment, I never ask. I just keep looking. And I thought, if I'm walking around that Bunnings store trying to find that little screw amongst 1,000 aisles and amongst 1,000 other screws, and I can't find the one I need, maybe Brian would go straight to the place and find it. But I've got to ask. Oh, for the old ways of Beerong Hardware, or the hardware up here where you could just go and ask, what do I need for this situation? But sometimes we've got to ask. And truly, there's no shame in asking for the old paths, the good way. And we're not talking here about... I'm not asking for a way that's ancient or when Christie was a young man. I'm not asking for that old path, okay? We don't want to ask for days when there's no phones, no washing machines, no planes, no cars, no technology, no computers, no electric lights, no clocks. I'm not saying that. That's technical, that's practical. We're talking here about principles and life goals and principles and direction. We need to go back to those old paths that are doctrinally centred in Jesus Christ and going after him. In the case of these ones in Judah, they were moving off into the way of the heathen. And I tell you, we can embrace the way of the heathen like that, and we've got to say, look, I've got to stop and see that I'm embracing that philosophy. And in Jeremiah 10 we read, if I just read part of one verse, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. And it goes on to elaborate that the gods of the heathen can't hear you, they don't breathe, they can't commune with you, it's not life, it's not God's pathway. But the children of Judah were being told, don't learn the way of the heathen. They've got a way of doing things, but look, just be careful. Just be careful. You don't learn their way. In Psalm 1 we read that, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And you know, the blessed man is the one that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He's not standing there to block the way of sinners. He's standing there in the same road or pathway or company with sinners. He's standing there in the same way, in the same path, in the same road as the sinners are standing. He's keeping company with them. And blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In verse 6 of that Psalm 1 we read, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's what this is all about. There's the way of the ungodly contrasted with the way of the righteous. And the way of the ungodly shall perish, but the way of the righteous shall be honoured, and that man may be blessed. But we need to ask for that old path, and we need to go back to the word and say, look, I'm not going to be enveloped with that philosophical thinking. I just want the word of God, because I know in my own life, when you remove the word of God, then you remove those standards, those principles, those thoughts, that mind of Christ, that security, that comfort, the joy. It's diminished, because you're beginning to think the way that the world thinks. Pastor Matthews last week was looking at Bible reading, and I was thinking about even that in the scriptures, so basic, and yet sometimes we need that old path, and we need to ask for that path where, Lord, I need to revisit that whole domain and have that in my life. I need a pathway of discipleship, a pathway of growth, a pathway of living in Christ. I'm going off the rails a bit here, and I need to stop and consider where I'm at and to ask for the old path so that I'm on that directional where I'm looking at the word of God and his life. We did a series in Sunday school several years back on the emergent church, and I was thinking there of how the insidious way in which things can move in a direction where doctrine and truth is being eroded. It's being eroded in practice, and we can see, even as Pastor Matthew shared last week, that reading God's word will increase my faith and give me access to that perfect source of guidance. And in the word, we see that it's his will that we be not cast to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's doctrine that needs to be held. And also sharing at the table, this whole philosophy of the roads lead to Rome, and a part of it too is that embracing of churches together, that whole ecumenical thought of we're all one, and whether we're Catholic or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu, we're out there with mission for churches. And yet it's false, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we need to come back to that point and say, Lord, I know it, I believe it, I embrace it, and I'm going to be a follower faithfully for thee and for thy glory. Not only in Jeremiah 6:16 are we to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, but we are to walk therein. And that was covered virtually in that last point as we were looking at the fact of action that we so much don't want to commit today, but yet I really believe it's a day of commitment that we need to say, Lord, by your grace and by your strength, I'm going to go down that pathway of growth and enablement, that I may be growing in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ for his glory and for his honour. And it's in this pathway we'll find that rest. And we read of that in verse 16. The children of Judah were not going to find rest for their souls. They were going to find judgment. And God was saying to them through Jeremiah that this is the pathway, and that you need to find rest by obedience and following that which I'm sharing with you. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, we read of the New Testament counterpart to this whole principle. Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord Jesus said, come unto me, and even unto those who labour and are heavy laden, there will be that pathway of rest. Paul Haraghi on Wednesday night talked about entering into that rest. And Hebrews 4 talks about that there is a rest under the people of God. And we need to labour to enter into that rest. And a pathway into that rest is obedience to the Lord and walking with him and knowing where we're at and being in that way. Jesus said, you shall find rest unto your souls in verse 29. And if we follow the Lord, then he's the one who can give unto us that rest and that joy. And even as Dr. Jim Berg taught in a series, Quieting a Noisy Soul, then those principles of begone anxiety, fear, anger, doubt, there is that rest in the Lord. And truly, in the midst of even a trial or a storm, you can find that rest. And that rest is available as a believer's joy is centred in Christ and all that he has done, not in the circumstances that are around him or her. Yet the sad news is that the children of Judah said in verse 6 of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we will not walk therein. Responses today are very much procrastination, putting off. They're very much, I'll look at it another day. But I've been with those who are just straight rejectors. Sometimes in our lives it can be a bit more insidious, a bit more undercover than that, because Satan will bring things our way that will start to get off onto another road that's not the narrow way. And we need to be alert to that. We need to stop and think. But yet, in a sense, there are those who will just say, we will not walk therein. We won't walk therein. And they boldly say, we won't walk therein. And sadly, that's where the children of Judah were at. I just pray that in our lives we won't go down that road of rejecting the word of the Lord, because I've seen consequences bear down upon lives when they've rejected the pathway of the Lord. And the Lord has been leading and they've not listened to the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, and they've brought turmoil and conflict and misery into their lives. They brought consequences into their lives. And you can build a life over a period of time and then it can be lost in a short period of time because of an act or a decision or a pathway that you go along. And we just say, Lord, keep us close to you by your grace. And in our lives, may we each, wherever we're at, stop when we need to stop. See where we're at, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And that will be the pathway of rest for the souls. And the Lord, by his grace, will strengthen and empower as we walk with him. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He abideth faithful. He abideth faithful. And he will minister in your heart and in your life to draw you along that pathway to his glory. If you're not a Christian, if you're not in Jesus Christ or got doubts, then please speak to someone today. Don't go away without Christ. Stop and consider what Christ has done and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. As a blessed pathway of salvation. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, how we do pray that you may minister to hearts even this morning. You know where each one of us is at. We know that this was specifically the primary application to the children of Judah there in Jerusalem. But Father, we understand there are applications in our lives because there are times when we need to stand, stop, that we need to see, that is perceive, and that we need to ask for the right way. Father, it's a pathway that we need to consider, and then when we're told, not to reject but to walk therein. Father, may we do all things to your glory and to your honour and to the praise of your blessed name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.